Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. It is Season 5, Episode 16, and we finally have a win to talk about.
Woo-woo!
Sound the alarms, open up the fancy wine, bring out the popcorn. We are
rambling on.
In a better mood. What are you going to do?
I'm going to just ramble on. That's what I'm doing.
We're going to ramble on. This week we'll be talking both games. We'll be talking about SLU, and we'll be talking about St. Bonaventure. There were some positive signs in the SLU game too, so we'll kind of point to those and see how that lines up for the next game. We will be talking just a little bit about the St. Thomas news. We don't want to get into too much detail, but we'll just kind of lay the groundwork so people who might not be up to date on Twitter might and listen to this can kind of know what's going on. I think that's kind of the meat of this episode. We're getting to about halfway through conference season, so that is exciting, and it is just a great feeling to not have a big goose egg in our conference record. So stick with us, and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter, Hunter shoots, off the rim, Brown gets the score, it's over, we won the ball game, Biola won the ball game, oh, we won, 60-58.
And we are back. So let's start, I guess, chronological order. So let's start with the St. Thomas stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like we just want to kind of bring this to light just so that we can inform people who might not know. But about a week ago now, I guess, at the VCU game where the disagreement happened on the bench? With St. Thomas, there was an account on Rambler Mania. We also saw in person a little bit of this. Mm-hmm. It was kind of hard. We weren't super close, but we knew something was up. And piecing everything together.
Yeah, actually, mm-hmm. Kind of funny. So yeah, it was the VCU game, and the reason why our seats are actually behind the bench, but we're in the upper bowl, right? Of course, because of the lack of students back, and also it was a Tuesday night at 6 p.m. We'll get to another episode of these scheduling times. I know it's all East Coast or kind of forced, but we moved up to the lower bowl, but we moved up closer to the bench, but kind of slightly to the left. And so we actually had a really good view of the bench, and we did see some type of interaction, disagreement kind of occur, and Buck can go into it. So we actually saw something, and according to some accounts from other people, they noticed something as well.
Yeah, so if for those who don't know, the assistant coaches, mostly Coach Morgan, handle substitutions. At least, like, you know, they tell someone to go in, and they go to the bench, and then Drew sometimes pulls them back or asks for another one or whatever. But Coach Morgan told St. Thomas to go on the game, and St. Just waved him off and basically told him, no, I'm good. And then after that, not much longer, Drew came over and just told Saint, I don't know what he told him, but it wasn't good because especially I think both the guys sitting on either side of Saint, which I believe they said was Huddy and Jalen, although I might be misquoting that.
Oh, I Whoever thought I was, saw someone two. Different. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I'll try to find it in the meantime. But the players on either side of Saint looked very shocked at what Saint did, and then very shocked at what Drew said to Saint. So, I think this just points to this was the thing we saw. This was the interaction disagreement that we saw in person. And I think one can just connect dots to know that this wasn't the only disagreement that could have happened between these two parties. The statement that we shared on our Twitter, big shout out to Dan Wallace, who is the sports information director. And he's new within, I think, the last 2 months. I emailed him late that night when we saw that Saint was no longer listed on the roster. And he emailed back within an hour or maybe 2 hours, like at 9 o'clock at night, and gave us an answer, which is really kind. We're not credentialed for the men's games. And so I just kind of explained that I am credentialed for the women's games, but we follow the men, and we're just hoping that there might be some sort of answer to this. And he replied and just said that the university was supporting Saint, that he was taking a step away from the university, both school and and sports, and for mental health reasons. So they supported him, and that was it. It was just kind of a short statement. I don't know that there is really all that much else to say. I think that makes sense. And yeah, we wish him the best. We really, I mean, we said this on Twitter, but we really truly do wish him the best. I think it's one thing to like say it, but he has seemed like he has given a lot to the program. His energy has always been very good. It's like the first handful of games, 8-10 games of the season, he looked like he was improving, and something obviously happened. You know, it might be in his head, it might be something that was on the court that upset him, but he obviously wants to take some time for himself, and we commend him for that and hope that he finds whatever he needs to find. If it's another school, if it's another location, or if it's just not basketball at all, like we really wish him the best, because college is damn hard for a lot of people. So it's not just that he's an athlete. He's a student. He's traveling away from home. He's with a ton of people he hardly knows. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that's all I got to say. But if you want to add to it, please do.
Yeah, no, I think really the only thing is just Drew did speak to this actually at our next home game in the post-game comments after the SLU game. Said the same thing again, all the support, and I think that's just what you got to do for, as just a human being. I'm all for supporting anyone who's going through something that's tough. Again, it's also tough when you're on such a public kind of stage with everyone watching, expecting high performances every game, right? I think this just ties in, and not to our team, but Dayton also just dealt with something where players were kind of being threatened, I think, on social media. Anthony Grant mentioned in one of his post games. For not, I think, hitting some, I don't know if someone's parlay or just not hitting the over or the spread or something. And I didn't see the tweets, but Anthony Grant spoke on it. The players were getting kind of threatened pretty much. So I'm all for Drew's statement, the program statement, again, support anyway. And again, wish them all the best. So that's really it. I don't think it's why as much. It's just hopefully things get better. For all players, that if you have any issues, because it's just ridiculous that, again, we kind of talked about it, they're young guys, they're 20, 22, big formative years in your life. So if you need to take a step back and figure things out, go right ahead. I'm all for that. So wishing them nothing but the best, for sure.
Yeah, agreed. So I hope he's doing well. And if there's more information, we'll be sure to check back in with that when we get that. But on to the basketball. The weekday game, as we mentioned, was against SLU. SLU's coming in. They were the consensus, like, second-best team in the A-10 and kind of have been that, even though the A-10 as its own has kind of been down. SLU's had some impressive wins, some frustrating losses, but they came into the game 4-1 in conference play and looking like they were kind of back to themselves. They got some players back from little injuries, and players are playing, shooting well, and they were looking up. So we knew it would be a tough matchup, and it proved to be. I think we got off to kind of a quick start. There was a bevy, like four threes that we made in the first 6 minutes, one by Wilson, one by Braden, one by Quinn, and one by Ben. That was huge. But even before the game, I kind of got ahead of myself here because I'm looking at the stats, but even before the game, there was some drama or updates, I guess. Jaden Dawson was going to be out for kind of the foreseeable future. I think we'll get an update in a couple weeks. But he broke his hand, which usually is 4 weeks. I don't know why. I feel like, I don't know if this is just like the most common injury in college basketball, or it's just us.
It might be us. Crazy. It might be a guard thing, but yes, no, you're absolutely right. I think you're going back
who,
to even.
Okay, so it was Ben Richardson, Lucas, yep. And then who did it last year? Didn't someone do it last year, 2 years ago? Because like I remember saying it again. I was like,
Tate,
oh man,
didn't
another
have a
broken
hand injury, did he?
It was who?
Tate didn't have one 2 years ago.
No.
I'll
find it.
That's a good point.
I swear.
I think it's
a
guard thing,
been
honestly.
Another one.
Because even
it wasn't Ty.
Oh, that's a good point.
I don't know. We'll have to
do some research. You'll see, like, again, we saw, was it this game or even, I don't mean to jump, might have been the St. Bonnie's game, but, like, even Braden's hand was taped a little bit, right? So, like, that got me concerned. Yeah. So I think it's a guard play sometimes, the hands, again, they might be the the biggest commodity for sure, but it's tough to see them getting injured. But yeah, you're absolutely right. It's sadly becoming a trending injury in our program over the last few years.
Yeah, so Jaden will be out for the next at least 4 weeks. I think that's comfortable to say, which is really unfortunate considering all the circumstances and that Jaden might have a little bit more of an opportunity to have some playing time. But overall, I just hope that he heals up and gets back to playing as soon as possible. Then the other thing, Marquise, I guess, tweaked his knee or hurt himself, one of his leg, in kind of pregame warm-up shoot-around type deal. When I got there, I saw him trying to stretch out, and it just kind of looking like he tried his best, right? He was working with the trainer, trying to get stretched out, trying to test it, and it just didn't look like it didn't look like his knee was responding as he would want it to. Mm-hmm. So he did not start, and instead we got a new starting five, with some of the returners and being Braden, Phil, and Ben, and then Jalen Quinn and Bryce Golden were added to the starting lineup. It turned out that Jalen got a ton of playing time, which was one of the things we'll talk about, which was great. Bryce, on the other hand, did not get a ton of playing time, but did not really perform as I think he would have wanted or any of us know he can perform better. So that was just before the game. But then, as I said, kind of leading up to the game, the start of it, we got off to a hot start, hit some threes, looked pretty good, got some turnovers, or created some turnovers on defense. We were holding onto the ball, got to the free throw line. You know, things were looking pretty good. I think we got a couple of their guys into foul trouble. Collins and I believe Okoro.
They both had two.
Two.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for Slew, I really think the guy who saved the game for Slew here is Sincere Parker, who came off the bench and I think had like 13 points at halftime or something like that.
Yeah, no, he did 13 and a half. No, he had 13 and a half, 5 of 7 from field goal. A great first half.
He hit
come off the bench.
Tough, tough shots, too. I mean, like, the threes themselves, one was pretty open, one was contested, but some of the like, jumpers that he made, like, mid-range jumpers and layup, I think he made a really tough, like, contested layup. But without Sincere keeping them in the game, I mean, we could have gone on and been up maybe, like, 6 or 8 at halftime. He kept them in the game. Before I kind of get too far into the game, anything that kind of stuck out to you either pregame or in the early goings of this one?
Well, pregame, yeah. So, again, shout out to kind of the pregame crew, Scott, TT. They kind of pointed the direction and said, hey, maybe we're going to listen to that pregame show. So please go out there and listen to their pregame show. They actually know how to pronounce our players' names properly. Than some CBS games. But I think the biggest thing was, yeah, that was when the Jaden news broke, so that was kind of interesting. And then, of course, nothing was said on Saint then, so was listening in for that. But, yeah, no, I think tough to see Marquise. You're getting a little worried because he's just, over the last few years, been tweaking some things, right? Which is annoying in the sense that I'll mention a little bit, just tied to this, someone called him on the St. Bonaventure game, the play-by-play, the Derrick Rose, because of how athletic he was. And I was like, don't say that. Like, just don't say that. One, not because he can't produce that well, but just like the injury. And then it's just also, I don't like comparing college kids to NBA stars. But again, a little worried. But overall, we put a roster out there that I think could do some things, a little disappointments. But early on, a little worried. But overall, again, like you said, I think it was just Parker. I have here, I think Parker scored the last 5 points of the half. I think he made a two, then a three. He was on fire. Again, that 5 of 7 is kind of crazy. But the team overall, St. Louis from the first half, was 57 from field goal. So it was like this team, even with their two, in my opinion, kind of out, very quickly found ways to score. And again, Sincere or Parker just really set it for them. And you couldn't really take that away from him.
Yeah. I think I was really impressed with the way this team competed. I think someone said it on either Twitter or Rambler Mania, but, I thought that the team looked very energetic and ready to play, and in warmups looked good. On the other hand, I think the coaches look pretty, I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe they were focused. You know, sometimes you can confuse like focus, like a deep focus for sort of sadness or like lack of confidence, right? They're kind of similar. But they didn't look energetic. And maybe there just wasn't that much to be energetic for with all that's happened with the program recently, plus just the results of the games. But it was just kind of stark, the differences between the players and the coaches. I really appreciated, I thought Tom was on the floor for loose balls. No difference in his play, I didn't think, coming off the bench. You know, I know he didn't have like the biggest like scoring output, but still got 7 rebounds and had a couple assists. And played some good defense on a really tough big. That was both Forrester and Okoro are bigger than Tom, and I thought Tom gave them some issues. I mean, they didn't. Neither one of those guys had a huge night. So props to Tom for just coming off the bench and being cool with that. But yeah, otherwise, I mean. I like the way we competed, only down 4 at halftime, which seems to be our thing, I guess.
Our margin, like, I think it's our margin. Yeah, it's our. I turned to you and I said, this is the first game we're not either tied or down by 3 at half, and at least an A-10. But no, I think the biggest thing for me was just like you said, they seemed better. We had 3 turnovers in the first half. I was like, wow, this team is really holding it together. We alone put up 45% from field goal, 57 from 3. So, and funny enough, I thought we got to the line. We went 8 of 12, maybe a little bit more, but we went to the line a little bit more. So then I kind of expected. So, guys, I think we're playing. I think this nearly also was honestly just a tale of the team just having a little bit better talent. I think that's just what it is. Especially in the first half, because even without Yuri and Oku, Koro, like, they have guys who can easily play, and that's, again, it might sound crazy, but Parker only played 10 minutes and put up 13 points, and it's like, it's just that level of like when you have a deep kind of bench, maybe, right? And we've had that in recent years.
That's exactly what I was gonna say.
And it's different now, right? Like, again, you could go to last year, you could go to the year before. When you have a deep bench, that's something, right? And right now our bench is kind of young. That's what it is, or younger, especially inexperienced with each other, right? There's a difference when it's you could have guys who are all seniors, but they have never played together, that it's all gonna be different, right? So I think that's something that the first half just really started for me, though again a clean first half just from the turnovers got me excited. And then yeah, I think really I can just go into the second half, and it's pretty much toward the end of the game. Again, we only then in total had 13 turnovers, or sorry, 9 turnovers. We didn't even have. I can't even count. Again, I assumed it was going to be double digits, right? But that's the thing. It's like the second half was completely different from a standpoint of controlling ourselves. But we had, and we've talked about it. We've talked about 2 different kind of metrics, right? Offense, defense, right, is the key, right? If you have a really good offense, you have to have defense. But then we went into our 3 quadrants of turnovers, shooting, and kind of defense. And literally, I think the second half was just slew. Not only did they hit some crazy-ass shots, I apologize if people, but some of the shots, I think there were 2 heaves that I'm still confused how went in. But slew went on to shoot 57% from field goal, and we shot 33. And that's just never going to – you're kind of just trying to fight back. And I turned to you at one point, and I go, it felt like a quiet – they were up 19 at one point, and I was like, felt a very quiet 19-point lead. Again, we kept the ball. I think our defense was a little bit, a lot of, backdoor cuts were being, used. And I think that's our kryptonite a little bit sometimes. But yeah, no, they were efficient. And again, that's Slew, right? When you're playing against second, even top tier of the conference, that's kind of what the expectation is on their end, to be efficient. And that's what they were. Sadly, we had guys in the second half and just overall in the game that just weren't as maybe efficient. Like, sadly, Phil went 1 of 6 in the second half. Not something you would expect. But I think sometimes, and this is one of my big points of this game, Phil tries to do too much. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so tough because he's so athletic. And I feel like there might be just a feel that he needs to carry this team more than he should.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's tough because he is leading the team in points, right? So like there is expectation that you're going out there to get your points, right? So it's really tough to be like, oh, 1 of 6. And then what, he went 4 of 13 in total, right? But then he was 6 of 12 from the free throw line. And it's like, could have been a little bit better maybe, right? So, but no one had a great night. Again, we shot 39% from field goal, 65% from free throw. I think a deficiency night, no one had it on the offensive standpoint, but our turnovers were down. So again, when you're playing against these top tier teams, you need everything to be on point, right? We've talked about this, right?
Yeah.
We need Braden and Marquise and Phil to be, and that's just what it is, right? And we're not there, and it's just not, and that's fine. I think we were very competitive, and I loved seeing that out of the gate. And I think it's not like everyone gave up. No one gave up. I just think that our tank had no more gas in it, right? I think when you complain against, like we said, a deep bench, that's just what happens. And again, competitive games, I think the biggest spite spot for me, honestly, Jalen Quinn, please play minutes. Just play. Taking advantage of it. Sadly, again, he's taking advantage of injury time. But again, I think regardless, I think he can take advantage of the times. But Buck, what really stood out to you, both halves or just overall? You talked about the beginning of the game. I kind of finished up with the end here, kind of being not as great as the beginning. Did anything stand out to you, positive, negative? Where does this game stand for you at compared to the other?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the thing I'm excited to talk about, you started, it was Jalen Quinn. I really liked how he played. I mean, and it wasn't like he was just getting like garbage time or anything. I mean, like he
had 31 minutes
in the game.
A lot of minutes. Yep.
Great defense. I thought he really disrupted Yuri Collins occasionally. He's really just like glued to him at times. There were times where they weren't switching and he was just staying on him, coming around screens. Other times, like, he was chasing around Jimerson. Both him and Braden were chasing around Jimerson, and Jimerson was 1 for 7 from three. Like, so there were some really good things. I thought Jalen played great, man-to-man defense on Collins, like, bringing up the ball and trying to disrupt them from getting into their offense. And on the other end of the ball, the other end of the court on offense, I thought he was solid. You know, there was one, like, missed layup, which was kind of unfortunate, but came right back and went right back up and got a layup, I think, the next possession. A couple threes, which is awesome to see, 2 for 4. I know Drew talked about it after the game, and they were just saying, like, they really want him to shoot. You know, it's kind of an unorthodox shot, but it is nice. It's kind of up over, like, his head and kind of an awkward angle to block, quite honestly. So I'm excited to see him. I thought he played really solid. I thought he played within his game. Only one turnover in 31 minutes for a freshman guard is just, like, huge. Especially he had the ball in his hands. He was initiating offense a lot. And they mentioned just, like, the ability of Jalen bringing up the ball and allowing Braden to kind of play off the ball. And almost allowing him to not take breaks on offense, but there's a difference when you're lining up like in the far corner and your guard's bringing the ball up, but you get like 5 seconds to kind of take a breath, maybe just enough to catch your breath, right? Whereas if you're the point guard bringing up the ball, you cannot catch your breath. Like, you are guarding the ball one-on-one, right? Trying to come around screen, stuff like that. So I do think that could be a big plus for Braden kind of going down in the future. We've seen Marquise do it, but I thought Jalen brought up the ball more than Marquise usually does. So, I really all around, I thought Jalen played an excellent game. 3 assists, 12 points, a steal, only one turnover, like I said, 5 for 10 from the floor, which is totally acceptable, 2 for 4 from three. Would like to see him get to the free throw line because I think he's great downhill and can draw fouls. And we did actually see him get to the free throw line in the next game, but I loved how Jalen played. I thought Braden had a pretty solid game. Not going to complain about 15 points and 3 for 5 from three and 3 steals. I thought Ben played a little bit better on defense. You know, not as many issues, but SLU didn't really try to press that matchup all that much like some of the other teams have. 10 points, 2 for 6 from three from Ben. And then, yeah, we talked about Phil a little bit, but the bummer for me, just like bench play, there was nothing really exciting about it. I thought Tom played pretty good, 5 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. It was nice for Wilson to come in and hit a three. I thought he did some other things kind of well, some kind of like switching on defense type of stuff. But just not a ton of impact minutes for Wilson. Nothing too bad or too good. So, yeah, just kind of I do have one gripe. If you want to talk about any of these guys and as a good thing, go ahead. I have one gripe that I'm going to leave for the end. So,
yeah, I think the one good thing that I just noticed is I think having Jalen out there when there's a premier guard on the other end helps take away the pressure for Ben to keep up with these guards.
True.
The only concern I have is, we kind of notice this, if there's not as much switching and like Jalen's just going to have to keep fighting through picks, it's going to get tiring, and it's going to get where there's just going to be a lot of open opportunities. There was a point, and it was interesting where, and this was early on, at least that I remember. Yeah, it was early, at least in the first half, where Jalen had to actually say, like, Phil, switch, but Phil just in his head was like, we don't switch. But Jalen was like, I can't get through, so you got to go. And just there was a mismatch, and there was a bucket put up, and I was like, you know what? It was so early, I think I was fine with it. So I think guys like Jalen can really help. Brayden can have Ben, because let's be honest, Brayden on a one-on-one with some of these premier guards who are a little bit taller and stronger, it's going to be tough. Ben, the quickness factor, I think he's got the reach. I think Ben's definitely got a benefit. But, again, there's some pros and cons to a lot of things. And I think, though, Jalen, his defensive game, as raw as it is very reminiscent of a freshman Lucas Williamson, because it is that just like in your face nasty, looking for a steal, and he's kind of going side to side. He might not get as like low, but I think Lucas got his rhythm, like how he gets low, like as he did growing on. But yeah, I think Jalen couldn't get any minutes like that can help on defense. Now, sadly, it didn't help with 50. I don't think you can really say it helped too much, because 57% from field goal is pretty high to let up. But oh wow, they shot 57% from field goal each half. Well, I'm just looking at it.
Oh, interesting.
Now. Wait. That's weird. Oh, sorry. Funny enough, because they put St. Louis put up 30. This is a weird factoid, but I just got to say it because I'm a nerd. They scored 38 points in each half, and they were exactly 15 of 26 from field goal in each half.
That's so weird.
Oh, I'm seeing that now. And they were only 7 of 12 from free throw. They barely got to the free throw line. So that's an interesting thing there. But no, yeah, for me, it's, again, defense wasn't too great in the second half, but I think gradually we can get, especially we're playing top tier. I get, my summary is, when we play those teams, like when we start playing St. Joe's again, or we play, like, we got to put in these minutes and use these defensive things to help us get wins. So yeah, I think defense is what can help us move forward for sure. But no, let's hear your big, I don't know, we got a segment or something, but what's your gripe of the week?
It has to do with Marquise. And
I thought it was gonna be Bryce, I'll be honest with you. This is more
with like dealing with Marquise's health and him not playing, not starting. I understand he wants to get in the game. I understand that he tweaked something and is trying his hardest. He was riding the bike, he was trying to stretch. But like, if you're not ready for the start of the game, which is fine, right? Like, crap happens, right? People get hurt. That is the nature of sports. In an hour later, you're not going to be like healthy. That isn't possible. Like with the body, right? Like if you're hurt an hour ago, just don't play. Like, this is more on the coaching staff, I think, and the trainer, because Marquise is going to obviously want to get in the game. That's his mindset. He's an athlete. He cares about the team. He cares about the fans that are there. But some adult that is not a player needs to be like, no. Don't let him in. His knee, he hurt his knee, and he is far more at risk of hurting his knee again or overcompensating and hurting his other leg, trying to compensate for his one knee that wasn't as healthy. And it just, I don't know, it aggravates me. I just don't think it was worth putting him in for 3 minutes.
Does it aggravate you like his knee or no?
Yeah, I had to do it.
Sorry.
And ultimately, like, Drew did take him out, right? He saw he went in for 3 minutes, and, like, Drew saw enough.
It wasn't 100%.
So someone just – it just bothered me. I think they should have handled the situation better, and I hope that doesn't happen again. So that's –
Yeah, I think right. that – no, that's tough. I think, again, especially someone who has kind of a strong – history of injuries, I think that's another thing for me. That's like, it's not like this is new. Like, we've had last year, we've had breaks from games for month, even last year, right, because of injuries. So if we especially want him down the road, like we did last year, just like maybe just be cautious. But I understand also this is kind of a tough, it's a tough year right now, and especially a tough week. So maybe just like the mentality for Drew and the team, it's like we want guys who want to play. And I don't think that's the question. I just think guys are also just, especially in Marquise's case, maybe just a little worried about re-injuring or being out longer. Like if I think everyone would rather be out one game. No one wants to be out, but I'd rather be out one game than a month of games. Right. So that's just kind of, So no, but you're absolutely right. I think, this game was a tough one. Great first start in the first half, but again, tough way to finish. But again, Loyola dropped it. 76-59 to St. Louis. Again, the last thing really is just cap off the St. Louis fans who came for a Wednesday 6 p.m. game. What a crowd. I think it's going to be a great rivalry once we get our footing in the door, which we'll talk about here with the St. Bonnie's game. But it was really exciting. I think a little intimidating, honestly, but it's great for me personally. I think it just needs to not be on a Wednesday at 6 p.m. Just be at a Saturday game. And then if only also, I think it'd be great if we could just corner them all in one section. That would be fantastic. Because like they were sporadic, and then chanting came. I was like, just go in one corner. Like how English Premier League does it in soccer. They just put them in a corner. Like, just leave it there. But again, overall great to have a packed Gentile. The student section also, we can't forget, was great. First game back after the holiday break. Very proud to be an alumni. Very proud of what the student section had become. And a lot of tweets were going on like crazy. A lot of from even NA10 fans, right? And A10 accounts were saying it is crazy. Loyola's going through a rough year, but the student section not having a rough time. It's a great place. So that's that. I think that was a great point to see as well for the first game back for the break. But I think on a happier note, the next home game, which I decided to not go to, ladies and gentlemen, which is means I can't go to another home game the rest of the year. I will admit I made a mistake on the schedule. This coming week, we don't have a home game. And I thought this was this past week, where the Saturday game was away. But this upcoming week, we do not have a home game. We're playing two away games, or even we're playing technically one game this coming week and then the next week. But yeah, Buck, I didn't go to the game, so I'm going to let you start this one and you do the honors because I don't deserve it.
Hey everyone. We just want to take a minute here to thank our sponsor for the episode, which is Mini Jerseys. MiniJerseys.com is your one-stop shop for Ramblers gear and other college apparel as well. This week, I actually just got myself a Braden Norris Fan Club t-shirt, and the Braden Norris Fan Club t-shirt must have brought us some good luck because I wore it and they beat St. Bonaventure, so I know what I will be wearing for the next Rambler home game. But do you know what you're wearing for the next Rambler home game? Check out minijerseys.com, that's mini jerseys with a Z, and you can find something to wear to the next home game. Back to the episode.
It's so going into the game, Bonnies are 4-2 in conference. They've won some impressive games. They beat Notre Dame, which was I think probably their best win, but also they've had some like solid wins in conference. They've beaten George Mason and Duquesne and Richmond, which I think those are pretty middle of the pack, and maybe in the case of like Duquesne, like might be more than middle of the pack. It's kind of yet to be seen. But then they lost at SLU, which SLU's very good. But at Rhode Island has got to be a bad loss for them. And they've had issues winning on the road. So they have not won a true road game this year. And coming into Gentile, and we're looking for our first win. A lot of things went our way. I think early starting lineup, I think we got to talk about that again. Same as the SLU game, even with Marquise ready to go, Drew still opted to have Jalen in the starting lineup, along with Bryce and Phil, Ben, and Braden. And I'm really happy with how Jalen played in the starting lineup again. Not a huge scoring day for him, but did a lot of other things really well. Coming out of the gates, kind of a tough shooting opening 10 minutes for us, and kind of the first half in the whole game, really. But missed a good amount of open threes. Specifically, Braden was 0 of 6 from 3, which is just really tough to see. He's the one, you know, obviously we know how well he shoots. I really don't mind him shooting 6 times. I really don't think he's going to miss 6 threes in a row the rest of the season. I just don't. He's too good of a shooter for that to happen to. But still affected the game in other ways. I had a friend there who doesn't really care all that much about basketball or sports in general. And he was even like, man, like that, like Braden kid, like he's doing other things though. Like he's had a good game. And I was like, oh, wow, I'm glad you think that. Because like most people just see, oh, 4 points. Like that's not a good game. But he had 5 assists, 4 rebounds, and a steal. Played some really good defense. Got some of their guards in foul trouble. Well, specifically Banks. And I guess Flowers as well. Flowers fouled out. Wow.
Yeah, here's a stat for you. Sorry, just because you just mentioned it. He drew 6 fouls.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Yeah, that's a stat I'm going to be saying more often now. Just to add, I've been noticing that with the last few games, but he drew 6 fouls, and which was really interesting.
I know exactly like where you're getting that stat, and I really wish that they could separate that into like drawing fouls on offense, like going up to shooting, or like drawing fouls on defense, like taking a charge.
True. I know what you're saying, and I can maybe look into that when you're saying a charge.
There has to be someone on Twitter the other day like posted for women's basketball. They were like, whatever, you know, Dorothy Day like has taken X amount of charges and she leads the A-10 or something. And I was like, where do they get that stat? I want to know that stat. And I looked for it and I can't find it. So if anyone knows where I can find it.
Just for reference, we now are subscribed to KenPom. So Advanced Analytics of Basketball could be the podcast 63. But no, keep going. No, you're Braden. Yeah. I think really just for me, the point to really say with Braden and the Bonnie game is, I think they said in the post game, if you were to say Braden and Phil would have combined for only 9 points total, you would have, and even Jalen only had 3 points. So I think it would have been weird, but I think it's weird, but I don't think it necessarily, I think there's ways guys can help find ways to make benefit and impact. And I think guys like Braden and Phil might have an off game, but that doesn't mean they don't help contribute for sure. I think that's the thing for sure. But it was a weird game to see that for sure. We're not going to deny that. I don't think you'll see. I love your point. I don't think you're going to see that too often, or at least we hope not. So.
I mean, going off from the starting lineup to the bench, Drew has said that in the past 2 games he wants to get time off the bench because he really thinks he provides spark, and that he did. 16 points on only 6 shot attempts is just a huge day for Tom. Super efficient, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block. 8 for 10 from the free throw line, love to see that. And just keep getting to the free throw line, Tommy. Like, we love that. And then just kind of going down the line on the bench, Jamarrell Wilson played 30 minutes, 11 points, 3 rebounds, and assists, and 2 blocks. I hope he keeps shooting those threes. We know just statistically from his days at Lehigh, he's a great, great 3-point shooter. And they'll continue to go down for him. So great to see that. Go to Marquise. Marquise, 10 points, rebound, and a steal. I know he had 10 points, which is good to see. Couple open, like an open dunk that was like just kind of ball fell to him, which is great. I thought he played okay. I'm not going to lie. I don't think this is like, I don't know. I still don't think he's 100%. I mean, I know a lot of guys aren't 100%, but. I think 23 minutes is about right for him. I think 20 minutes for the next couple games just to see. I want to see him get back to full strength before we kind of send him out there again for 30-plus minutes. And then the man of the hour, the man, the myth, the legend, the reincarnate resurrection, the prodigal son has returned, Jacob Hudson. And before I give him more props, Lou, you take this one away because I am not going to steal your thunder. You have been talking about Huddy the entire year, and I have not. So please talk about your boy, Jacob Hudson.
Yeah, I think, I don't know where else to go. I think Jacob Hudson is raw talent that just doesn't get utilized. I don't know what it is from Drew. I don't think we have a big man. I don't think Bryce really has shown that. I think Tom gets beat up sometimes, and it's tough because he can't grab every rebound because we just don't grab rebounds that often. Back-to-back games getting out-rebound even with a win here. But Tom up against, was it Venning? I just want to make sure I say that right. Venning is a big boy. No doubt it. For those who didn't watch, St. Bonaventure has a very big player. His name is Chad Venning, and he's not just tall, but he's also got some mass, and he's just, like, very strong down low. Like, when he gets the ball and collects himself, he can just go to the bucket. And he's a little quick, too, which was really got my attention. I was like, oh,
yeah,
he's not, like, slow with it. He really wants to get the ball out of his hand if he doesn't have it and switch, but get when he's down low and has the advantage, he wants to go. And Jacob Hudson was put in, I think, at first, really, just to be the matchup because Huddy's big and a little concerns on defense a little bit. There was a stupid foul. I think nothing wrong with Huddy there.
No, but then, it was not his fault.
Yeah, no, and then I think it was actually on a free throw, too, or something. But the biggest thing that I think people are surprised about, and I think that's why you saw Gentile nearly rip the roof off, is Jacob Hudson's offense was just electric. Who would have thought you would have said that Jacob Hudson would have had a better three-point night than Braden Norris? He had more three-pointers than Braden Norris because he had exactly one three-pointer, and Braden sadly had zero. But, yeah, no, Jacob Hudson was perfect from field, 4-4. I think the three was definitely not out of character. I don't want to say that's not his character. What I want to say is just out of rhythm for me. I didn't expect it, but he was right there in the right place, right time, and he's not – he knows how to make that shot. That's the bottom line. He knows what that shot looks like going in. But his offense was very, very – he only played 13 minutes, sorry, just for reference, compared to guys of like Marquise Kennedy of 23, Tom Welch, 22 – Jameer Wilson, 29 off the bench, but again, all four of those guys off the bench produced, I think, 20, 31, 47 points of our 67. So they all deserve the minutes, but Huddy just really came off. I think he had a block that was great. He only had three rebounds, which I found really odd. I thought there were more rebounds for sure, but again, we were getting out rebound no matter what, I think, personally. So yeah, I think these were solid minutes. I think the reason why it's such an electric moment and why it's a big moment is because, Drew, what is there to lose right now? Like, honestly, you did not play him in the SLU game, and that bothered me tremendously. You weren't really playing Bryce unless there was some, like, injury or he said something funny and it was inappropriate. I just didn't understand why Jacob Hudson didn't get a single minute in the SLU game. And I'm not, and that's the tough thing, right? We say this right now, and then if he goes has a bad game, people are like, I thought you said Jacob Hudson. Buck said it earlier in a few podcasts ago. We don't have enough data points, honestly, for Jacob Hudson this year.
Yeah.
There just isn't. And I think we've had plenty with Bryce Golden. We've had plenty with Tom Welch. But like Jacob Hudson, no. I don't think there's a fair range in this season to be like, what is he expected? I think he's not right now at like he's not going to shoot 4-4 from every game, but I think if you give him minutes right now, we're 7-12 record. There's nothing to lose right now. There really isn't, and I think he's a young player who can use the minutes really well. So that's my whole Jacob Hudson spiel. I really like his play. I like his game. I think I like everyone, right? But I think it's tough to not like a kid who's been sitting on the bench and just goes out there and puts up 10 points. And he might not do that every game where he comes off the bench because I don't think you should be stagnant on the bench for a while. But, hey, it was great to see. Overall, the bench, though, like Jameer Wilson, let's just go into it. Him and Huddy, though, I think summarize this for me. They felt comfortable. Jameer Wilson looked so comfortable. Maybe a little too comfortable with some of the moves. There were so many tough what was it? Was it like a turnover or fouls? I swear, Jameer Wilson, I liked the game. I think it might have been a turnover where he just like, oh, sorry. It was the press break. Great draw, press break. First time I think we've seen nearly this year that what I call the Uruguay deep for a touchdown pass.
Oh, yeah.
And Jameer Wilson, like, again, maybe it's just you haven't played, but you got to make that shot. You're one-on-one. You don't do a spin.
Or just back it out.
So that was the other thing. I agree. Yeah. We were in like a minute two left. like, you back it out and just drain clock. Like, that was the other thing I think he forgot, honestly. And I think he did say, my bad. And it wasn't like and honestly, if it did, if we lost the game, maybe you could have said that's a huge turning point. But luckily we didn't. And I think that's just like, that's a lesson where it's like, hey, if we want you in these big moments, you've got to be aware of things like that. But I think besides that, him and Huddy felt very comfortable, or they looked comfortable. Don't know if they felt comfortable. But again, 11 and 10 points each. You already mentioned Tom Welch and Marquise, but both 10 and 16. Tom, just stay at the free throw line if you want. Again, still efficient regardless, but the free throw line was amazing to see. Yeah, again, what a game. I think one thing, do you have any really off? I'm going to go into defense really quick.
No, I want some Huddy time too. I need
to. Oh, go. Huddy. Oh, let's go. Okay. Yeah. You don't need, you just want thing... listeners to know, you don't get this often from Buck. You don't get Huddy time. I just want that.
No, I think I have the biggest praise for him that I could ever give. For if anyone has been a listener for a couple years now, you know that the one thing that I have vehemently disliked about him is his hesitation. There was no hesitation this entire game from him. Like, even the first possession he gets in, post move and one, no hesitation. On his three, which we said, yeah, he hasn't really done that this much this year or recently, really, immediately gets the ball and shoots. Like, there was no hesitation. Like, pick and roll, immediately goes up for a dunk. So I just, like, the block shot, too, goes up, block shot. Nothing, not, you know, not reach in or anything. Just picture perfect, fundamentally sound. You might be, I'm watching, actually, the game back a little bit here. In terms of like his rebounds, you might be thinking there was one where he was playing post defense and he blocked Venning, or well, like, used his body to block him, mm-hmm. and then Ben came down and actually got the block shot. And then there was another one where Huddy tipped the ball way out, but it went in the backcourt, which that's what Huddy is supposed to do. He's supposed to tip it out, tap it out.
He tip didn't count. I remember that.
Count as a rebound, unfortunately, because he didn't like gather it. But that's exactly what he's supposed to do. Like that, if Keese is like further back or in the middle of the court, he probably gets it. But no, I love Huddy. He deserves more playing time. I don't know what else there's to say. He was a lot of fun to watch. I appreciate the fact that he has been sitting on the bench and came in, didn't, you know, as far as we know, hasn't complained. And just he seized an opportunity. And if he does not get more playing time in the next game, you know, 8-10 minutes, somewhere like that, this coaching staff has made a mistake. And he has earned it just for his attitude and then the play of 13 minutes on Saturday. So I will be... This is now my time to back Huddy, because I am fully supporting him getting more playing time now.
Yeah, we don't appreciate the lateness, but you know what? We take all fans and
I will take that. I will admit. I'm not gonna be a fake. I'm not gonna say that I was on his bus the earlier part of this year, but you know, things change, and when your other big transfer has not looked as good, he deserves playing time. And
absolutely,
yeah. No. So see
it. Yeah, I think we're kind of getting giddy, and rightfully so. I don't know if we actually stated this, but for those finally getting to the point, we actually won our first conference game. That's why we're all so happy about this game. Loyola played St. Bonnie's at home. Is this our first like back-to-back conference home games? I just
realized was, yeah.
So first time in a while we've had back. The first time ever we've had back-to-back A-10 home conference games, and this is a win. This is our first A-10 win in the history books. We're 1-6 conference, 7-12. It's weird that I'm gonna say this, but that's what it felt like, right? Because we've played there the last. But this felt like a Valley game. And that's what it did.
Yeah,
it did. I think even the post-game conference kind of stated that. The game was 67-55. This is our first game for those keep tracking at home. This is our first conference game that we've held to the opponent under 75 points.
Yeah.
Every single conference game has been 75 points or more let up. Or sorry, 78. 76. St. Louis only had 76. It's going to dramatically bring down our average, but we're going to probably hopefully see that stay down. But yeah, we haven't seen opponents score that low. Albany even put up 56, But yeah, I think, yeah, again, we're very grateful Drew does the post-game conference, win or lose so far for conference, but he did in the St. Bonnie one, and he brought reminiscence of flashbacks kind of to talking about Clemson, and we are going to talk about Clemson, like we said a few weeks ago. It's the best win we have this year, and it's a bad one on Clemson's resume, but very similar where Clemson and St. Bonnie's were horrendous from Frivold, and I think our defense was great. We only had three steals, which was very odd, but I think the defense and credit to, like, Jalen Quinn, I think that presence. I also think credit to Jamir Wilson. Jamir Wilson, I think, with that body, for sure. Also, he had two blocks, so that's nothing to shy away from. I think he's got the – it's really funny because I thought about this, and, again, I could be totally wrong. Again, we're just two guys who love Loyola basketball and talking a podcast, but – I was like, Jamir Wilson almost is like the length of Ben, but the quickness of Jalen. And I was like, that's a dynamic player just on defense at least, right? So, yeah, I think the defensive side of the ball, again, Bonnies were 1 of 10 from three in the first half. So 10% there. They're 25% from three in the second half. So 18% from three in the game total. They were 31 field goal overall. I don't think this is a real three-point killing team anyway, but the biggest thing really was Venning, and he put up 16 points. The crazy thing for me, though, is he only had three rebounds total, which confused me, but I think we did good blocking.
Their guards rebound down very well.
They do, yeah. Like I think
Banks and...
Yeah, the fact that Banks even got some rebounds, and even Kyrell...
Evans, yeah, nine.
Evan had nine, so that's the crazy. Evan's nearly had a double-double, but I think also we actually did really well. Flowers fouled out. We kept fouled. Venning also was in foul trouble, so I think for a little bit, but again, they had to play him. He did play still 32 minutes, so we took advantage of things, but they did not have a great night, and when they don't have a great night and you're doing well, you got to locked in on defense. Because we were horrendous from three ourselves in the first half. Kind of picked it up a little bit in the second half, but what kept us in the game was our field goal percentage. And also, we can't deny it, free throws. Ben, for sure, or not Ben, geez, Tom, and Braden, even though Braden was 0 for just a donut hole in the field goal, he was 4 of 5 from free throw, and Ben, or Tom, I don't know why I keep saying Ben, Tom was 8 of 10. And so 72% from free throw is nothing to shy away from. 16 points. It's plenty of points to keep on the board. So, yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for me, Buck, is that when they were not shooting great, we took advantage of that. And honestly, I think it's that we were able to find productivity on the offense. So, yeah, that's a huge thing for sure. Sadly, we did have 12 turnovers, but that's low for us on our numbers. Only concern is, again, the assists seem to be low. I think last game we only had, I think we still had a higher turnover to assist ratio. Same game here, we had one more turnover to assist. So I'd like to see that. But again, hey, I think the biggest thing was this, we needed a win. And this was, St. Bonnie's are still, have not won on the road.
They're fifth place now. Yeah. They're tied for fifth in the conference. Like, it's not – they're a good team.
No, well, honestly, any team – let's be honest. So any team's good team compared to us right now in the conference. We're dead last in the conference. My father even was asking me, well, what about the other teams? And Rhode Island's got a win in the conference ahead of us. So we have what I think it counted, 11 games left. What are we – yeah, we're 7-12, so, yeah, 19. So we have 11 games left. We got to take it to them. These 11 games are going to be tough. I don't care who we're playing. They're all going to be tough for us. But now we have the win. I think Drew said it best. It's not that we didn't know how to win, but it's just nice to get it off. Maybe the monkey off your back or whatever, right? But that doesn't mean that like it's going to be an easy road. Like that's the tough thing, right? It's not like, oh, we won one. Now we're going to win them all. We win them all, amazing. But we got to still have the fight. So, again, though, great one. Finally get that first W. We can report on A10 news now. Not feeling like any frauds, but no. Love the atmosphere. Still also a good. How was the crowd, though? I wanted to get that quickly.
The crowd was awesome.
That's what
I
thought.
The crowd was fantastic. I mean, those weekend home games are great for the suburban people to have time to come in and get in and drive whatever. I will say the student section wasn't full. So I know we gave props to them for the SLU game, and I will mention when they did not fill it. So I would say it was probably 3/4 full, maybe a little more.
Maybe they needed a break some from the losing, seats. But now then they missed the win. So
it's
that's
a weekend, you know, they got some Darty to go to or something. but the crowd was fantastic otherwise. I got to chatting with a couple Bonnie's guys. I actually bought a Bonnie guy a beer. This is really funny. So before the game, I go up, I'm going to get a beer for me. And there's a rule, you can only get two per person. Like, that's just kind of the rule. And so the Bonnie's guy was, like, real confused about it because he was trying to get three. And he joked with me. He's like, oh, can you buy me a beer? And I was like, sure. You know, whatever. Like, it's $8. Like, I don't care. And he, like, did not understand what was happening, I don't think. And so then I told the lady behind the counter, I was like, yeah, just add a lager or a pilsner or whatever he's getting. Just add one onto mine. And so I did. And then he was still trying to, like, get the guy to sell him three. And his buddy came up and he was like, oh, can you buy me one? And I was like, no, dude, I got a beer for you. Like, it's all good. And he looked at me and he was like real confused. And he's like, wait, why'd you do that? And I was like, oh, I'm just being nice. Like, tell your friends back in upstate New York, like, tell them that, like, Loyola fans are nice. And he kind of laughed and then he said something else. And I was like, or you can just tell them Sister Jean bought you a beer. And he was still, like, super confused. So, I was just trying to be nice. And, I mean, he appreciated it, but...
I guess you can't confuse these Bonnie's fans. I don't know.
Yes, I don't know. Maybe they didn't know Sister Jean. I don't know.
No, they did. They did travel well. They were in that NIT run last year. They did travel well, so that's awesome to see Bonnie's. Yeah, I think we were talking SLU in Dayton. We were talking to some SLU people we know. SLU and Dayton are probably going to be the one and two, I'd say, a fandom joining into Gentile during the A10 for sure. Again, we SLU was enough, but we get ready for a Friday night game with the Dayton, right? So, great to see the crowd again. Finally, the home crowd also getting their first A10 win and their first win in 7 games, right? So, wow, crazy. Yeah, we were 6-5, I guess, right? Yeah, and then we lost. So, yeah, tough one, the road we were on. But, again, getting that first win under our belt is great. And, yeah, just an overall interesting game. The bench, again, summary took over for us, playing great minutes and quality minutes. Again, Jameer, Tom, Marquise, and Jacob. But, again, no credit loss to the starters, I think. When we have 9 guys, if we can go 9 guys like we did in this game, I think that really changes the game for us, and we have an advantage for sure. So I'm like, that's what excites me, honestly, is that this felt like a cohesive next guy up kind of mentality, and that's what this 4 guys off the bench really provided. And for me, that's what gets me excited about these next 11 games, because especially when it comes to A10 tournament time, where, like, we know there's really not much time to be like, oh, we need to figure out, like, next guy up. Like, if you're not 100% maybe for the next game, because the games are day after day. So I think we got to take advantage of these next 11 games with these 9 guys or whatever guys, but everyone's at this point, especially guys like Huddy, quality minutes are going to be needed, and that's on the coaching staff for sure.
Yeah, like you said, just good to get one under the belt. Looking forward to the next couple games. You know, I hope we can kind of keep this going a little bit. We do have Duquesne, who's been, pretty okay in conference. 3-4. They won some good games early, but have struggled lately. They lost to Bonnie's. They lost to Fordham. I guess their only good win was VCU, now that I'm looking at it. They beat St. Joe's, and they beat Rhode Island. Losses to Dayton, losses to Richmond, Bonnie's at Fordham. So, I do think, I think it's a winnable game. We'll figure out how to pronounce it, but he's very good. Guard, 15 points a game. I mean, every team just has, like, a legitimate scoring guard, if not two.
Absolutely.
I do think is just a lot different from the Valley. And then, after Duquesne, we got Dayton, who...
did not look good at all against George Washington. Looked very, very beatable. At Dayton, very, very tough place to play. But, you know, I think if we get one of those two games, I think that would be great. I think the Duquesne one's more winnable. Kind of get two in a row, see where we go from there. But, yeah, our next home game is not until February 4th against George Mason. Very so get ready. And, yeah, get yeah, it's just they kind of – because we have 15 teams, it seems like one team every week kind of has a real slow week. And this is, I think, just ours.
Nearly like a bye week is what I was kind of thinking of it. It like, is, it's not, yeah. But like you're kind of getting, because you are playing a lot of games. You're playing.
It's
you're
Wednesday playing, to a Tuesday. So.
Yeah, because what was it?
It's is like it, 6 days.
Off. Total of. Is it total
18.
18, yeah. So you're playing, in my opinion, a lot of games, and you kind of need that breath. So.
It's like I think it ends up being like 18 games in 10 weeks or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so you don't play two every week, and this is our like one that we're just gonna play one this week. So
yeah, and it's crazy because again, before we didn't have to travel far, right? Every yeah. team was pretty much within distance. So no, happy no matter what, but again, we still got a game this week no matter what, and hopefully we can continue this little win streak that we got going.
Yeah, yeah. I think you need two to call it a streak.
Oh, do you? Oh, bummer. But hey, I'm sorry, we haven't seen a win in a while, so I guess I'm not.
Maybe that'll be the name of the episode. Okay, we need two as a streak or something like that. Like we need one more for a streak.
There you go. No, great always. Again, no matter what, this team's fan always just great to watch. But getting that W is a huge thing. So happy to see that.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. It was good to be good to see a lot of you all in Gentile, and let's make it a streak and go from there, and we'll see you all in Gentile in a couple weeks. So that's all from Buck and Lou here at Podcast 63. Thank you all for listening, and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.